And the title of my talk today is, What Do You Love? And so this talk starts off with a tiny bit of crowd participation, just to fill the room, just by show of hands, maybe regarding things that you may or may not love. So starting off, summer and winter, who loves summer? Yeah, nice. The hot weather, going to the beach. Who loves winter? All right, cold weather, rugging up, hot drink. Tea or coffee? Who loves a cup of tea? All right, quite a few. Who is one of those people that's aching for their first cup of coffee in the morning? Yep, me too, me too. I'm a blend 43 sort of guy. Pretty fancy. Cats and dogs. Who loves cats? All right, yep. Dogs? Yeah, the majority. I did notice a couple of people that seem to love their pets so much they've snuck them into camp this weekend. Footy, the Crows. Who loves seeing the Crows win? Okay, a couple. Who loves seeing the Power? All right, even less. Okay, yeah. Don't ask me which team I love because they're about 30th on the ladder at the moment. Okay, here's the last one for you. Coriander. Who hates it? Okay, and who loves coriander? Yes, there you are. The chosen ones. Many were called, but few have been chosen. All right, we're going to turn to a scripture to see what Christ says about love in Matthew 22. Because ultimately, in the natural, we know that there are certain things that we love or maybe don't love. It's sort of just how we're built. So we're going to see what Christ says about love, and it's a scripture that we did touch on during Friday night's meeting. Matthew chapter 22, verse 34, it reads, But when the Pharisees had heard that Jesus had put the Sadducees to silence, they were gathered together. And then one of them, which was a lawyer, asked him a question, tempting him and saying, Master, which is the great commandment in the law? Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And so this is a very, very powerful piece of scripture here that we're pretty familiar with. Maybe we've memorized it in our minds to some degree. And essentially, we're called to love the Lord with every part of our being. And if we cast our minds back to the Ten Commandments when they were delivered to the children of Israel, this is essentially just retelling that. What Moses said there, that, you know, we're not to place anything before the Lord at all. Here, this is what Christ focuses in on. And in verse 39, he adds to it and says, And the second is like unto it, Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And so we're not just called to love the Lord in a vacuum, but rather we need to reflect on the compassion and love that Christ showed for everyone. And he displayed such a great love that, you know, we obviously know that in the end, Christ sacrificed himself for the sins of mankind. And really, when we think about love, there is no greater example than God sending his son to die on our behalf. We read in 1 John chapter 4, it says, God is love. So he is the very definition of the word. There is no better way to explain it than that scripture. We'll turn to a story in chapter 10 of Mark, just a couple of pages over, Mark chapter 10. So in Mark 10, verse 17, we'll start. It says, And when Jesus was gone forth in the way, there came one running and kneeled to him and asked him, Good master, what shall I do that I might inherit eternal life? And Jesus said unto him, Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. Thou knowest the commandments, do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness, defraud not, honor thy father and mother. And he answered and said unto him, Master, all of these have I observed from my youth. Then Jesus, beholding him, loved him, and said unto him, One thing thou lackest, go thy way, sell whatever thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven. And come, take up the cross, and follow me. And he was sad at that saying and went away grieved, for he had great possessions. So here we have an account of someone that appears to be a pretty good guy. He runs up to Christ and he kneels and he calls him master. So he was very respectful, very intentional about his approach. And then he goes on to ask Jesus a question about salvation. And Jesus responds with a couple of points and says, don't commit adultery, don't kill, don't steal, don't bear false witness, defraud not, respect your parents. And this man says, all these things I have done since I was a child. So this guy here, he's got a pretty good resume. He's ticking a lot of the boxes. And Jesus recognizes that. And in verse 21, it says, Jesus, beholding the man, loved him. And so that's very notable because there's only five people within the Bible where the scriptures specifically mention them being loved by Christ. And this guy is one of them. And that will be, you know, captured, documented in the scriptures for all time, that this man was loved and recognized by Christ. And so Jesus sees the man is made of pretty good stuff, and he challenges him with one more thing and says, sell all you have, give it to the poor, and come and follow me. But this man could not do it. And so when we look at the scriptures here, we think, how much did this man love Jesus? Almost enough. He almost loved him enough. In 1 John 2, we read in verse 15, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, then the love of the Father is not in him. This is a very significant scripture and perhaps feels quite significant for the times we live in, because there's a lot of distracting things out there, and it's easy for us to fall into the trap of loving things within the world. But I guess also the love of the world creeping into the hearts of the saints, that's nothing new either. And we'll turn to our next scripture in 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy 4 verse 3, it says, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. But after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears, and they shall turn away from their ears unto the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things. In verse 10, it goes on to say, for Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica. And so here Paul touches on a few of the things that we see in the hearts of men today. And then Paul goes on to mention this man Demas, who is mentioned twice elsewhere in the scriptures. And it sort of points to this guy Demas being, I guess, a helper of the church there, maybe someone that was heavily used in the ministry. But Paul writes this devastating phrase that Demas has forsaken me. And I guess we can see that even 2,000 years ago, there were still Christians that were falling into the trap of loving the world. And it reads as though, you know, Paul and Demas, they were on the same path. They were furthering the kingdom of God. They were sharing the gospel. They had the same vision. But it says Demas has forsaken me, and he lost that, and he loved the present world. And we need to reflect on the scriptures. Love not the world. If you love the world, the love of the Father is not in you. And so I guess it leaves us with another question. What should we love? And as Spirit-filled Christians, we're called to something higher than falling in love with the traps of this world. And really, we should be drawn to the things that the Lord is drawn to. And the scriptures are pretty clear on what God loves. And we'll turn to John 3, perhaps the most obvious scripture we would go to in a talk such as this. John chapter 3. And the one verse here, verse 16, that we know so well. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So what does the Lord love? He loves souls being saved. He loves seeing his kingdom increase. And it meant so much to the Lord that he gave his only Son for this cause. In Luke 15, it says, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. When someone turns from their old life and comes to know God's salvation plan for them, that is everything. And we got to experience that yesterday when we had the baptism just outside here, and we got to see someone, you know, come into contact with the kingdom of God and start their walk. And we need to recognize that is everything. And we can't just see a baptism and think, oh, that was nice. We need to really understand and appreciate how important this is and that yesterday at 1 o'clock, whenever it was, the angels in heaven were rejoicing because we had a baptism in the tank here at Karrakilinga. That is what the Lord loves seeing. And that needs to drive the vision for our life. That needs to be something that we're passionate about, that we love seeing the Lord's church increase. And we need to contemplate these scriptures that we've read here today so that there's no uncertainty when we consider the question, what do we love? Amen.